You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, good to be with you. Friday morning, we get a chance to get together. And sun's beginning to come through, but it's kind of hazy out there. I think there's some wildfires down in the dry parts of Washington State or sending some haze up here, and that's the way it works.
And happy Mother's Day for our weekend listeners.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Bob, taking a look at some of the headlines, Canada's new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, went to the White House to visit with President Trump. How do you think that meeting went?
Oh, I think it's all the stuff surrounding it. Mark Carney is a dyed-in-the-wool, authoritarian, communist, hands-on control freak. And his big issue is that carbon dioxide causes global warming. And you have to control carbon dioxide, which means you have to tax people. So his promotion is that through our taxes, he can control the weather. And I've suggested that he should start first by controlling the weather, because controlling the climate is a much bigger deal. And if he can get in a little practice and just modifying the weather, it sounds practical to me. And he is an authoritarian dude, and I'm sure that Trump is fully aware of this. And somewhere I think there'll be some shots fired at Carney. I'm telling you, this guy is a communist, forceful guy.
How do you think that will bode for Canada in negotiations with the U.S. on a new trade deal?
Well, you got to understand that authoritarians in Canada, like the bureaucracy and all that sort of stuff, they're interested in their own prosperity, and whatever the ordinary citizens get is just, that's what it is. And I'm strongly against authoritarian governments, as you can see, and Canada's authority comes from downtown regions of Vancouver, Ottawa, and Montreal, and Toronto, which always seem to be hotbeds of authoritarian beliefs. So, no, Canada is in a very bad form. The movement by Danielle Smith in Alberta, she has a really good handle on what's going on and knows that, she's been fighting Ottawa for a decade now, and Ottawa's, of course, trying to destroy the province of Alberta because it's different. It wants to stand on its own two feet. And as the premier said last year sometime, decades ago in the early 80s on that energy crisis, Trudeau Sr., Pierre Elliott Trudeau, as prime minister, stole the energy from Alberta. Whereas Justin Trudeau, on the latest manufactured crisis, wants to shut it all down. To shut it all down, I should say. Anyways, it's a form of madness out there, but I think there's quite a growing movement within ordinary folks saying, hey, this is too much. I think it'll show up in the next election. In the meantime, there'll be considerable pressure building. against the authoritarian crazies in Ottawa.
Danielle Smith apparently has been talking to the Bloc Québécois, the separatist federal party from Quebec, on lessons on how to get the most out of Ottawa.
Yeah, I think it's a good ploy now. And then dealing with Quebec, Alberta dealing with Quebec is a problem because without Quebec says no to extending a pipeline to the eastern provinces. But they get something like $13 billion a year in equalization program monies, and all that money comes from Alberta. So Quebec gets equalization huge, and then they don't want a pipeline. I mean, it's pretty evil out there.
Yeah, I've never understood the Quebec attitude. They'd rather buy foreign oil from the Persian Gulf than Canadian oil from Alberta and Saskatchewan.
Yep, that's the way it is. And yet they want the bounty of Canadian production, and they get huge on it. I remember when I looked at it, that $13 billion annually, no other province was getting anywhere near that. And they called it an equalization?
Yeah.
What you can do with words.
And in terms of safety, a pipeline is much safer to send petroleum products along instead of using trucks and rail cars. And it looks like Quebec didn't learn a thing from the disaster in Lac Magnetique,
where the oil tanker cars
exploded and killed over 40 people.
Yeah, that was a terrible one. Absolutely terrible. Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know how you change an attitude. Also, I heard the leader of the Bloc Québécois say, well, how can Alberta go separatist? They don't have a oil and cows don't make a culture. So how can you be a country on your own?
Oh, yeah. No. We'll just leave that one there. But I think Alberta and Saskatchewan are putting great pressure on the authoritarian movement that abides in Ottawa, and I think a good many people in the province of British Columbia would also join a protest against intrusive government. So I think we're on a major political change from authoritarian to more individual sovereignty.
The Federal Reserve, this is a headline from Associated Press, Federal Reserve likely to defy Trump, keep rates unchanged. Well, they did keep the rates unchanged this week.
I always laugh when they talk about the Fed lowering rates, as they call it, Fed cuts. Now, I've done this study going way back, a couple hundred years, U.S., and then the Bank of England, the central bank in England. And the pattern is that market forces drive short-term interest rates, as recorded by Treasury bills. And in a boom, short rates go up. And then the central bank always has an explanation for raising its administered rate. And then in a bust, guess what? Short rates go down. They do not, it's not a step towards extending the prosperity. And there are leading spokesmen out there who really, really believe that lowering interest rates will extend the boom. And I can show you 1,000 years of history where short-dated rates go up with the boom, and when short-rated rates go down, they say the boom is over, and, interest... I've got one from, it was early September 2007, which was the great bull market, stock market peaked in that October, the economy peaked that December, and then we went into the bad stuff. And this spokesman, he was with Harris Trust, said that the Fed declining interest rates would certainly keep things going. And all you have to do, you don't have to have any economic theories at all. As a matter of fact, better not to have any. You just look at the data. And short rates go up with the boom and down with the bust. So, and then eventually, after the peak in 2007, short rates fell eventually. Let's say zero on the T-bill rate and the equivalent on Fed funds, where the Bank of Canada followed the rate down. So it is a world of make-believe out there on policy making and getting excited about the markets because the Fed's going to cut. Not going to happen. The good part's not going to happen. The Fed will be making many, many cuts in interest rates as the T-bill rate goes to zero.
Now, the New York Times complains economic concerns are mounting, but the Fed isn't cutting rates proactively.
Again, it's the same idiocy.
Yeah. Is that because when you have low interest rates, it encourages people to take on debt that they really can't afford?
No.
No?
No, no. They take on debt they can't afford at the high rates.
Oh, yes. Well.
And the low rates are because they're not taking down debt.
Oh. But it just sucks you into more debt.
Yeah.
That's still debt. Now, we have another really interesting headline from Axios. Buying a home now requires $50,000 more in income than renting.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was absolutely fascinating. And clearly, by this calculation, the cost of owning is a whole lot more expensive than the cost of renting.
But the problem with renting is it never ends.
Yeah.
Whereas eventually, if you make your payments, you do own your home, whether it's 25 or 30 years or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like anything else. Buy low.
And sell when?
In your house?
Yeah.
When they take you out by the handles.
Yes, if you have a reverse mortgage, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Is when they pack you off in the box, they get the house. Now, we have the New York Times talking about the backlash on tariffs. Buy America, no thanks, says Europe.
Yeah. Well, the protectionism in Europe has been astonishing. And the U.S. just could not sell cars into Northern Europe. And just immense protectionism. And Trump is cracking it open. He put tariffs on everybody. And then is negotiating with different countries to bring, you know, to find a happy level. But the key thing, I think, was that he put tariffs on everybody rather than select China. But I think China is the one. And it's still, of course, a communist country headed up by a bunch of dictators in Beijing. And it would be wonderful for history to have that dictatorship fail. So this, I think, is part of the deal. The Chinese economy did have a magnificent boom, and they built all kinds of empty apartment towers. Imagine, they built cities of empty apartment towers. And it reminds me of a line back in the 1870s when, with the 1873 bubble, the big play had been in railroads. So everybody was promoting a railroad, and Vanderbilt observed that They had no business building railroads from nowhere to nowhere. And, of course, the application to China is building whole cities of empty apartment buildings. And the collapse is going to be absolutely staggering, and it'll run for many years. So Trump's tariffs, in this case, are helping to end, I believe, a communist regime. And I kind of celebrate it. Now, tariffs at home, when income taxes were first brought in the early 1900s, writers at the time were unethical to take a person's income and tax it before they even got it, because hitherto the only way they could raise money was by taxing trade things, and that's your tax on things. And this is what they're going back to. Trump is going to eliminate income taxes. That means you eliminate the Department of Internal Revenue Service, and the state lives on what it obtains through tariffs. It's wonderful. I think it's going to be great. So I'm looking forward to watching it, because if it happens in the U.S., as chances are that there could be enough Canadians to bring the same thing in Canada.
We'll take a look at more headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy from Bloomberg. Oil drops as OPEC Plus supply surge threatens to swamp global market. We're, what, drowning in oil right now, Bob?
Oh, yeah. A few years ago, there were shortages. And now there's the prices are quite weak. And, yeah, it's a weak oil price, and this is wonderful because it makes the cost of living lower, and it denies money to Putin to conduct wars, so it is a good thing.
Or if they're pumping out more oil and bringing down the price, does that mean in the future we're going to see a lot higher prices because there's no encouragement from profits to look for more oil?
No, it's... we're in a on the edge of a post-bubble recession. The world is not going to need the oil. And then you got Trump is going to drill, baby, drill. So the U.S. will be discovering and developing more oil reserves. So, yeah, no, the future for oil is probably down.
And we have the Trump administration to garnish the wages of 5.3 million defaulted student loan borrowers this summer.
Yeah. This is good because I think far too many students have been taking a free ride at the taxpayers' expense. And garnishing their money is a very good discipline.
And our final headline, futures slide on latest batch of disappointing earnings.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the earnings are starting to head down, and basic prices are heading down, stock market's heading down, short rates are heading down. It's, I think we're in a post-boom recession.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope everybody is happy for Mother's Day.
Indeed, there will be some very pleased mothers out there and families, I'm sure.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we had a good time today. All righty, we talk next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.